Please get your Bibles this morning and let's turn together to the book of John, to the 8th chapter, to verses 34 through 36 this morning as we consider the theme of the slavery of sin and the freedom of the Son. The slavery of sin and the freedom of the Son. And a little different than I normally do myself. There's a bit of a detailed bulletin outline this morning with various blanks to fill in, and I'll mention those more specifically in a moment here, but let's give our careful hearing to the reading of God's holy word again this morning. His word gives life. His word revives. Let's anticipate that as we hear it read and preached now. John chapter 8, verses 34 through 36. Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Please bow with me very briefly in prayer. Father, we ask that you would please grant the illuminating and convicting work of your Spirit this morning as we consider the words of your Son here in John 8. Lord, use them to make lasting eternal change within us. Use them to convict us. Use them to save us. We do ask these things in His name. Amen. We are, and I don't need to really tell anybody this, but we are in the midst of a national crisis in this country, wherein prominent cultural leaders in various prestigious walks of life, whether it's the entertainment industry, the news media, the federal government, various cultural leaders are being publicly exposed and called to account for their private sins and indiscretions. In fact, just this past week, I think we were all shocked again. Not that any of us think that somehow we've hit the end of this thing. I think that there's a lot more to come. But it seems that every morning we wake up to the news of yet another. And we are shocked because some of the ones being exposed, some of the personalities we're seeing being called to account for their private sins, or at least very believable allegations that they've committed these sins. Some of these are our most beloved and even at times trusted public figures. And therefore, this morning and this evening, I want us to consider, really in a rather sober and serious manner, the uncomfortable subject of the slavery of sin and the ruin that it will inevitably bring into your life. And we need to do this because we are not merely spectators on the sidelines watching various superstars fall into shame and disgrace. We are sinners ourselves. We sit here as a congregation. The conversation is not going to be about them out there. It's going to be about us in here. You see, what we're watching go on the national scene is the outcome and the destruction that will befall us if we don't heed God's word to turn and repent and find grace and forgiveness and freedom in Christ. you need to hear this morning that sin kills. Sin destroys. Sin enslaves, not just them. It kills, it destroys, it enslaves us in here. And if we don't flee it, and if we don't hide ourselves in the Son who loved us and gave Himself for us, I have no hope for you. In fact, the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans gives an admonition that should make every single one of us in here sit up and listen to be sobered by. In Romans chapter 8, notice what Paul says. Notice who he addresses in verses 12 and 13. He says, brothers. Did you catch that? Brothers. It's actually the collective. Brothers and sisters. We are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. And listen to, he's talking to brothers and sisters. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. And it's with that sobering statement before us, Paul telling us Christians that we, if we put to death by the Spirit the deeds of the flesh, we will live. He's telling us Christians that. I want us to consider first this morning the slavery of sin. The slavery of sin. Because addressing, and you need to, I'm wanting to press this point deep this morning. Addressing confessing believers with sobering words is not something that Paul originated. But rather, we see that Jesus is engaged in the same activity right here in John 8. Look on the page in front of you there. Notice Jesus is currently in a discussion, notice, not just with Pharisees. But as verse 31 tells us, so Jesus said to the Jews, listen to this, or look at it. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in Him. And thus, as we come into our passage in verse 34, Jesus is still talking to those who had believed in Him. When He, and you hear the words there in verse 34, when He answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. There's lots more here, but there's four things that I think we need to observe here and that we need to soberly meditate on this morning, even as we've been shook as a nation. I think as God's people, we need to soberly hear them and meditate on them this morning. Now, the fill-ins, I admit, are a little bit odd. There's this dot, dot, dot there, but there's a purpose behind it, and I want you to fill in both as we go along, and I'll explain what those are, beginning with the first one right now. The first thing we need to own here and that we need to be convicted of is that Jesus is talking to you. And then the dot, dot, dot is me. I want you to put me there. Jesus is talking to you. Or, more personally, I'm wanting you to read it as Jesus is talking to me. Truly, truly, I say to you, that is you, religious person. That is you, church member. That is you, professing believer. Jesus is saying, you who believe in me, you who believe in me, and until we face that fact, until we quit trying to hide behind certain doctrines while hiding in our sin, we are duped. If your theology of salvation has made you lax on your sin, then you have a wrong doctrine of salvation. If your theology of salvation has made you lax on your personal sin, then you do not have a right doctrine of salvation. You need to get it clear and straight, and you need to say to yourself very clearly this morning, Jesus is talking to me. Secondly, Jesus says, when you, ... Jesus says, when you, or you say it to yourself, Jesus says, when I commit sin, it enslaves me. Jesus says, when you commit sin, it enslaves you. Or, when I commit sin, it enslaves me. Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. Again, this is not an abstract truth. This is the real and present danger of sin in your life. If you commit sin, it will enslave you. In fact, it's a bit more pointed than that. Jesus is saying, it's just a nuance, but Jesus is saying, when you commit sin, you are being enslaved by it. When you commit sin, you are being enslaved by it. It is enslaving you. And so Jesus is talking to you, and he is saying to you that your sin has got you in its clutches. Your sin is a master over you when you are committing it. Again, you need to get this clear and straight. I think you need to be sobered by this, and you need to say to yourself and make yourself this morning deal with the fact that Jesus is talking, and you need to say it to yourself, and I would say it throughout the sermon this morning, just say it in your own heart. Jesus is talking to me, and he is telling me that my sin is enslaving me. But it's even more concerning than that, just that bare fact. We need to see thirdly here that, and this is the C point, Jesus says, the first fill in there is, Jesus says, all sin you or I commit enslaves you or me. Jesus says, all sin you commit enslaves you. Jesus says, all sin I commit enslaves me. Notice that there really is not a quantity of sin here. I mean, there is a sense at which there's a practice that's being noted here, but there's no quantity of that practice. Notice also there's not really, and there is actually, there's not a quality of sin given that Jesus says is enslaving you. The point is very simple and clear. Jesus is meaning for us to hear that every sin enslaves. You can't sin in a little way or something like that. There's not a sin out there that doesn't enslave. Sin enslaves. Every single sin, no matter how small you think it is, no matter how infrequent you think you are engaged in it, it is enslaving you. And we all need to hear this and heed it because we are too soft on sin. You have let the world creep in. It has numbed your conscience. There are things that you are happy to do now that years ago would have horrified you. That's the enslaving of sin. That's the bondage that sin brings you into, thinking, oh, well, there's these little things. These things are harmless things. Now, James, in the first chapter of his epistle, James says that even a wrong-placed desire, and then he uses this birthing terminology. He says, when a desire conceives, when you let just a wrong desire conceive, it will give birth to sin. And then he goes on and he says, and when that sin matures, you will die. That's exactly what Jesus is getting at here. Believer in Christ, you need to clearly communicate to yourself that Jesus says, all sin I commit is enslaving me. You need to become convinced that there is no free zone, that there is no little sin. All sin enslaves and begins to kill. You cannot give quarter to any sin. Because as we see fourthly here, fourth thing under this point, Jesus says that slavery to sin will ruin you. Jesus says that slavery to sin will ruin you. You need to read it, and you need to tell yourself, Jesus is telling me that slavery to sin will ruin me. Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house. Before the last few weeks, it was probably the case that many of us have struggled at times with thoughts along the lines of Asaph in Psalm 73. Asaph writes in Psalm 73, I was envious of the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They are not in trouble as others are. They are not stricken like the rest of mankind. But now we're seeing on the national scene what Asaph eventually came to understand. As he goes on there and the Lord ministers to him, as he looks out at the world and he is tempted, because it seems like the lifestyle of the rich and the famous, the ungodly, is so fun. It is so problem-free. But he gets to a point where the Lord has ministered to him, and he says later, truly, and this is what we're seeing on the national scene right now, truly you have set them in slippery places. You make them fall to ruin. This is what Jesus is saying here. Slaves don't remain. One who is a slave of sin will not remain in the house. Again, you need to make yourself hear Christ saying, slavery to sin will ruin me. Congregation, Satan, young people, Satan wants nothing more than for you to neglect and to not believe and to question God's truthfulness and what he is saying to you. Satan wants nothing more than for you to not hear this. He wants you to listen to him instead because he wants to kill you. It's nothing new. This has been his tactic from the beginning. It's the same old tactic as in the garden with Eve. God says, do not eat of that tree because in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. Satan turns it right around, right in the face of what God said and says, you shall not surely die. Jesus is saying, yes, you will. And his saving work, his own work of bearing our sin, the penalty for our sin on the cross, is the proof that he is telling you the truth. The wages of sin is death. And you will pay sooner or later if you continue enslaved to sin. The day of reckoning is coming. Think about how long, what we're hearing of how long some of these men got away with what they got away with. They must have fought, and so wrongly, they must have thought, I have gotten away scot-free. I can do whatever I want. In fact, my power is probably somehow tied to my increasing perversion. Now, whenever the judgment of God does not come down immediately on your sin, the response should be, I am not getting what I deserve. This must be the kindness of God because he's trying to lead me to repentance. It's not that you're getting away with it. It's that God is being kind to you. But sooner or later, one day, if you do not turn, you will have death to pay. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I want us to turn next and see the exact opposite of the enslaving nature, the slavery of sin, to see the beautiful freedom of the Son. I mean, look, the text here before us this morning, I think it is so perfect and helpful as we're seeing, but it's also, it's not allowing us, I think the way Jesus addresses this subject here doesn't allow us to talk about this in the abstract. This is not merely theologizing or having some kind of a discussion in a detached way on the whole theory and subject of sin. No, Jesus is speaking to us even now. He's speaking to you even now about your sin. But even as he does that, he also speaks to us about the fact that there is not merely salvation out there. You notice the point doesn't say the slavery of sin and the freedom of salvation. And that's not what Jesus says. He says, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Salvation is not an abstraction out there. It's not just this thing that maybe is available. No, there is a Savior. Salvation is found in a person. And that is the one who is speaking here. Look at the second half of verse 34 and verse 36 again. Jesus says, the Son remains forever. Therefore, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. If the Son, if He sets you free, then you will be free indeed. Again, I want us to just go through four things here under this point, similar to the others. The first is just a repetition of the exact same point when Jesus was talking about the enslaving nature of sin, so too when He is talking about the freedom that you can have in Him. Jesus is talking to you. Jesus is talking to you. And put there, me. Jesus is talking to me. Just as it was with that matter of sin, so too with the matter of salvation. And therefore, make yourself reckon with the fact that Jesus, as He speaks of freedom here from sin, as He speaks of freedom from sin, say to yourself, He is talking to me. And He is saying, this is B, He is saying that He can free you from your sin. He is saying that He can. Now you say it in your own heart of hearts. He is saying that He can free me from my sin. Notice He's not telling you to do anything. He is telling you what He alone can do for you. He can set you free from your slavery to sin. That is, He alone can save you. The cumulative message, the case that is built from cover to cover in the Scriptures is there is no amount of education. There is no amount of public shaming. There is no amount of growth opportunities. There's no amount of educational opportunities, peer accountability groups, firings, resignations, soul searchings. There's no amount of any of those things that can be done that will change the fact that we are born dead in our trespasses and sins, and that apart from Jesus Christ, we are enslaved to them. You cannot do anything else. That is your master. It's exactly as God says in Jeremiah 13:23, Can the Ethiopian change his skin? Or the leopard his spots? I mean, the implied answer is absolutely obvious. The implied answer is no. No, in Ethiopia, I can't change my skin color. A leopard can't change its spots, and thus the rest of the verse follows. Then also, you can do no good who are accustomed to do evil. Are you hearing? Jesus alone can set you free from your sin. You can't free yourself from it. It is one of the enslaving, duping aspects of sin that you aren't that bad off, that you'll just get your act together. That, you know what, I'll change this in my life, or once this happens, then I'll stop it. You're enslaved. You're duped. You can't get out of it. Jesus is saying, if the Son, if I set you free, then you will be free indeed. The third is that Jesus is saying, and it's even more beautiful actually, he's saying that he can free you and me, or you, and I'm sorry, me. He's saying he can free me indeed. I love the little word indeed here. He doesn't just say, I will free you. I will free you indeed. I think what Jesus is meaning here is that he's not merely going to free us. He doesn't merely free us from the penalty of sin, but that he can free you indeed. In other words, from its power also. He doesn't save you to leave you in the mire, in the muck, and the enslavement of sin. He saves, he frees indeed. The enslaving power of sin is broken in the Son. He can free us from lives lived in service to our lusts and the sins that are ruining us, truly freeing us and enabling us to walk in new obedience. That is being free indeed. Again, you need to make yourself hear this morning. Tell yourself, speak to yourself in your heart of hearts, even now. Jesus is saying, he can free me indeed. Everything I have been in bondage to this moment as I sit here this morning, Jesus says, he can free me indeed. There's one final thing, and again, it's a small nuance. Jesus is saying more than he can. Jesus is saying he will. He will free you. Jesus is saying, you say it to yourself internally, Jesus is saying, he will free me. He will free me. See, it's not merely that he can, it's that he will. Jesus came to set captives free. That was the point of him coming, was to actually set us free. He didn't come to potentially make it possible for some who are enslaved to sin to break free from it. That's not his mission, to potentially make it possible for slaves to somehow get free. No, he frees. He came to set captives free. He came to set you free, and he'll do this because he alone can do this. And that's the final thing you need to make yourself hear, the final thing you need to be saying to yourself right now based on his own words here. Jesus is saying that he will free me, that he will set me free. You see, the salvation that is given to us in the Son of God, if you read through the Old Testament, this salvation was prophesied and promised at various times and in various ways throughout the whole Old Testament. One of the more beautiful promises, I love the terminology that's found in Isaiah chapter 49:25. We read there this glorious promise, "For thus says the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken." What he means by that there is, even the captives of the mighty will be rescued, will be pulled out of their captivity. Even the captives of the mighty shall be rescued, and the prey of the tyrant be rescued. For I will, this is the Lord speaking, I will contend with those who contend with you, and I will save your children. God is the Savior. He rescues His people from slavery. He can bring you into a freedom and a joy that you might not even now think is possible for you. But that is His promise, and He has all power to do it. You don't have the power. I mean, haven't you gone long enough in your life to know you can't stop? You are a slave. You do not have the ability to break that sin. It is enslaving you. And there is one who can free you. And it is the Son. And when the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Maybe you have all but given up this morning. You're sitting here and you've just thought, I'm never going to be fully free. Maybe you've decided that you just have a problem with this. This is just your thing. And you're going to just try to figure out how to manage and live your life around it. But that's precisely what Jesus says you can't do. That's part of the enslaving, duping nature of the sin, is to make you think that you're going to be able to live with this. No, you're not going to be able to live with it because it's going to kill you. It is going to ruin you. Your destruction is the end of a life giving quarter to sin. That's the enslaving nature of it. And so for you who know this morning, you who know the deceitfulness of sin, you who know its enslaving power, you who are sick, you are so sick and tired of falling, that you are so tired of being in bondage to your lusts, you need to listen to Jesus today. I mean, look at those words. He came precisely to set free those who are in bondage to sin and death. And He means for you to be free indeed. He means to deliver you from both the penalty and the power of sin. And so you've got to hear. I mean, pray, God, open my heart and my ears now. Make me hear the voice of the Savior fresh this morning. Because He is. He's calling out to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Make yourself hear Him. Listen. Don't harden your heart this morning. If you took notes this morning, I want you to have them out there with your pen. And I want you to go back through and I want you to cross out the word you in your notes. Everywhere it says you, just scratch it out. Leave only me, I. And you need to read that back to yourself. You need to say to yourself, you need to read and meditate on the fact that He is talking to me. He is saying that whenever I commit sin, it enslaves me. He is saying that all sin I commit enslaves me. He's telling me that my sin will ruin me. But He is also gracious, and He is loving, and He is kind to sinners like us. And you need to tell yourself, but He is also gracious and loving to me. And He is telling me that He can free and save me. He's saying that He can free me indeed, not merely from sin's guilt, but also from its power. And He's saying He will save me. And therefore, I've got to cast myself upon Him and trust Him new this morning. Tonight, we're going to look a little further at this amazing salvation and this amazing Savior that we have, looking to the blessings of forgiveness that we have in Jesus as we come to His table and commune with Him, as we come and are nourished by Him afresh. Let's pray together there now. Oh Lord, in the light of our sin, You would send Your Son. You would give us the gift of a Savior to set us free from the enslavement of our sin. Thank you for Jesus this morning. Oh God, I pray you would make every eye in this room be cast upon him as we think about how he is that Savior telling us, I will free you from your sin. So Lord, we need your Spirit to open our eyes and our hearts, to actually bring us to repentance, to turn away from these enslaving sins and to grab full and strongly the Savior this morning. You've put him before us. And now, Lord, may he save us. May he do his saving work, his freeing work, bringing us into life and liberty. We look to you, we wait upon you, we need you as we pray in his name. Amen.